This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Bigger Picture. This is an edited recording of the 7th BFM Health and Living webinar on how to stay motivated in managing your diabetes, whether it's sticking to your medication, changing your diet, or maintaining an active lifestyle.
Welcome to the 7th in our Health and Living webinar series that has been running since April. And of course, for the series, we really have to thank our presenting sponsor, AIA Berhad. And today we'll be talking about diabetes, something that we're all very familiar with because almost 1 in 5 Malaysians has diabetes. Now, if that's you in that situation or your loved ones, are you also having trouble managing the condition? And is it possible to reverse diabetes? We have our experts here to tell us whether that is possible and also to give some advice to help you stay motivated in managing your diabetes. And our speakers today are Dato' Dr. Zanaria Hussein, a consultant endocrinologist from Hospital Putrajaya. Our other speaker is Mageswari Lachmanan, dietitian and deputy director from the Allied Health Sciences Division in the Ministry of Health. Thank you so much, Mages and Dr. Zanaria. Mages, you know, when patients come to you, if they've been referred from their endocrinologist or physician, at what point do they usually come to see you? What kind of complications may they already be facing from diabetes at that point?
Okay, usually as a dietitian, we get referral from the doctors upon diagnosis. And of course, as we know, that the diagnosis point doesn't mean the start of the disease itself. It could have happened like 5-6 years ago and undiagnosed, and most probably the person themselves never experienced any symptom of diabetes. That's why they are being quiet and not getting the treatment. So when they are referred to us, they come with symptoms of diabetes, and that's where we try to give the medical nutrition therapy.
Dato' Zanaria, I've heard that when a person is diagnosed with diabetes, they may have already had it for 6 to 8 years before that point. Is that true?
Yes, that's very true. Very often, you know, when you're diagnosed with diabetes nowadays, because we're encouraging people to be screened, yeah, so they're not having symptoms at presentation. And that's the best way to be diagnosed with diabetes, actually, early, without symptoms. But it's quite hard to place when you actually develop the disease. But if adults are going for regular screening, in fact, they'll realize that, you know, as time goes by, maybe year after year, you might see some differences in your fasting glucose. And you can sort of see when it is that you actually cross that fence, you know, from pre-diabetes to diabetes. But if you are doing so, I think you'll be cautioned to actually take care of yourself better and, you know, try to keep the numbers the same or even, you know, go down and backwards from, you know, eventual progression from pre-diabetes to diabetes. So that's what we hope can do for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, but what are you finding when, by the time that they come to you, have they been good at doing the regular screening and are able to come to you early, or are they coming to you with kidney failure already at that point?
Okay. So in Malaysia, diabetes are managed by largely by primary care or in community care. So I work in the hospital as a diabetes specialist or endocrinologist. So we get to see usually patients with longer duration of disease. We're referred from the GPs or primary care. So, you know, we get the more difficult, complex cases, the one of long duration on a lot of medications and sometimes on injections, or most of the time on injections as well. So they do usually have problems by the time they come to see a hospital-based doctor for their diabetes care. But in community setting, I think there's a very good chance that you may have early disease. And at that point in time, if you tackle it properly, there is a possibility of, you know, maintaining good control or even sometimes doing so well that you may revert it a bit, you know, whatever term you want to use. Yeah.
Well, that's a big question these days. A lot of people are talking about curing diabetes. Is it possible?
Well, cure is a short word, but it has a lot of meaning there. And cure usually means that you get rid of the disease and it doesn't come back. So that's a bit difficult with diabetes. But what can happen is, you know, sometimes we use the word reversal and the other word that we use is remission. So when that happens, there is a possibility you can sustain that state of going back to normal, but there's also the possibility of coming back into diabetes if you don't take care. So you can actually get, you know, if you talk about cancer, you're talking about remission and relapse, you know. So you can relapse back or bounce back into diabetes if you don't maintain those, whatever that is that helped you get to normal.
But what does normal look like then? That means your blood glucose is back to its so-called healthy levels. But does that mean you can get off medications, insulin even?
So there is a proper definition for reversing diabetes. That means that you're able to achieve what we call HbA1c, which is a blood test, which reflects the average glucose, that your sugars are no more in the diabetes range. But in fact, it might be in the pre-diabetes range. Yeah, and you are off, totally off all your medications for at least a few months. Some would say 3 months. So if you're off your medications and your sugar patterns are not in diabetes range for that duration of time, then you would have achieved what they call reversal or remission. And this is what they target for when they're looking at clinical trials, you know, if they do certain interventions, whether it's diet or whether it's even surgery, bariatric surgery, how you define remission. Yeah.
Mm. And Margis, from the perspective of your daily lifestyle habits, right, looking beyond the clinical management of diabetes, if we're talking about reversing diabetes, what does that mean for the person in terms of their eating, their lifestyle habits? What can they do? Can they go back to letting it all out again?
I guess this is just temporary remission, or you are reverting your sugar level or symptoms. So having been a pre-diabetes or diagnosed with diabetes, you're always in that zone that you have to be very careful of. With weight reduction, they'll be able to see some good control of the glucose. At any time, the continuous taking care of your lifestyle, diet intake, and also exercise has to be continued. Cannot just forget about it and freely eat whatever you want, which get you back to the condition again. So it's not like 100% solution, but careful intake of the diet and modification of the lifestyle has to be lifelong. I can say it's lifelong.
I think that may be the bad news. people never want to hear that, right? That they have to control their diet. And you talked about that you can't just freely eat anything you want.
Yeah. Maybe I won't want to use the word control. I think nobody likes to be controlled. And simply put, I think it's more of modifying the way that you eat, the food choices that you have, and also the modification of the lifestyle, actually.
On that note, we were running a Twitter poll asking people, you know, if they think it's true that when you have diabetes, you cannot eat rice for the rest of your lives. almost 11% think that is true. And, you know, a similar myth came up on our Instagram question as well. Must you avoid carbohydrates or carbs when you have diabetes? Can you address that, Margis? Rice and carbs.
Yeah, I think this myth has been there for a long, long time. And that is not true, actually. In a human's diet, you need some amount of carbohydrate. If you're a diabetic or non-diabetic, you have to have the carbohydrate portion. That's the healthy portion, actually. So which should be like, maybe if you know your calories, should be like 50% of your calories should come from carbohydrate. But in diabetes, actually, what type of carbohydrate you are taking and the amount that you are taking, that's more important. When it comes to the type of carbohydrate, because we are looking at the complex carbohydrate, so you have to have your fiber in your carbohydrate, and you have to have a whole grain, the selection. That is why usually you are advised to take more of brown rice or wholemeal bread, oats, which the good type of carbohydrate you are taking, rather than taking like white rice or simple carbohydrate or maybe sweet drinks. It's also carbohydrate. So the things take-home message in this will be, when it comes to carbohydrate, you can have your carbohydrate, take care of your type, and also in terms of the amount that you take, and also what you take in your meals. Because we eat like 3 or 4 times a day, you have to spread out the carbohydrate throughout the day. So you don't eat like banana leaf, one mountain full of rice for lunch, and you try to control your breakfast or dinner. It has to be distributed throughout.
You're listening to an edited recording of our 7th BFM Health and Living webinar. We'll be back shortly on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Bigger Picture. This is an edited recording of the 7th BFM Health and Living webinar on how to manage diabetes well and possibly reverse the condition. Here's more from that conversation.
Dr. Zanaria, we have a question from Judy who's asking, you know, will we have to take our diabetes medications long term? Can we stop it if we control only our diet and exercise? And I'm going to add to Judy's question, weight as well, Dr. Zanaria.
You know, the results of studies are what we have, you know. So in the recent years, we know that it is weight loss that really determines whether you can actually take off your medications and, in fact, whether you can even reverse diabetes. And it has to be a large amount of weight loss and a sustained weight loss, you know. And the weight loss we mean is something in the, you know, a range of, say, a 15 kilo weight loss or about 15% weight loss from where you started off. If you you're able to do that, and most of the time you're in an overweight or obese condition, then you can actually definitely start to see that your glucose gets better, and you may be able to slowly, with the advice of your doctor, of course, you know, get down on the doses of medications and sometimes the number. You know, a lot of diabetics are on maybe 2, 3, or sometimes 4 medicines, oral, sometimes insulin. And with the weight loss, what happens is your insulin that you already have in your body starts to work even better. And because you're losing weight, you're moving better, you're very active, and that even makes the insulin work even better. So you're going to find that you may not need those medicines. And in certain circumstances, we could guide you to be off your medicine. So, you know, you really have to work together with your diabetes care team. And it's about, as mentioned, cutting the carbs and then losing the weight, maintaining that good weight off, and the success story of, you know, slowly taking the medicines down and maybe off. Maybe.
Yeah. Of course. And the weight loss, it's going to give you that extra push, isn't it? Yeah. But 15%, is there a time frame? Do you have to lose it within the first 3 to 6 months, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, with whatever sort of way you lose weight, what you target is about 6 months. Realistically, that you lose about 5 to 10% of your body weight, and then subsequently a little bit more. Because there's a tendency to plateau after, you know, the first few months of a rapid weight loss, whatever you do. So it's not so rapid, a gradual and maintained weight loss. Yeah.
Yeah. Margis, what will make the difference in terms of achieving and sustaining that weight loss? Is it the diet part or is it exercise?
I think there are many components involved. Definitely the diet you have to take care. What do you, the input and output has to be balanced actually. So the intake of the food, the amount, and also the calories has to be taken care. And of course, the exercise is important for us to maintain the weight loss that we have already achieved. But only thing, they have to maintain the weight loss thereafter. If you are doing the yo-yo kind of diet, reduce, go up, and you don't see a net difference. So that's very important in the sense of losing weight. And it has to be part and parcel of their lifestyle, actually.
So that's where the challenge is going to come in, isn't it, Dr. Zanaria? We're talking about years, perhaps, you know, after 5 years or maybe even less, that initial urge, that adrenaline rush to get things right has probably worn off. What do you find?
Yeah, what I know is you can't do it alone. It is bound to fail if you do it alone. So what has been shown, again, we always go back to evidence, clinical evidence from trials, is that you need support. you need guided dietary advice, professional guided dietary advice. Mm-hmm. And then you need someone that checks on you. You need to adhere to that program of so-called intensive lifestyle, because it can't just be a small change in the lifestyle. It has to be an intensive change in the lifestyle. It needs guidance and it needs mentoring, it needs coaching. So that is, I think, what is missing in most circumstances. And that could be the key to actually getting people to be able to be successful if they have that guidance along the way, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Dr. Zanaria, we have a question here from Joshua, yeah, who wants to just find out more a bit about, you know, what we were talking about, weight loss. Joshua is asking, is it weight loss or fat loss that's important?
All right. So in most circumstances, Joshua, if you do lose weight in a big way, a big part of it is going to be fat loss. But also a part of it is unfortunately also probably some muscle loss as well. That's something that's going to be difficult for us to assess just by looking at the scales, you know, about how many kilos you've lost and how much is fat, how much is lean mass. This is only known if you actually do research and you can actually quantify it. Because we don't want to lose too much muscle, isn't it, Magis? Because that's important. Muscle mass is important so that your insulin can work well. So if you have too much loss of muscle, you also are in a state where your insulin can't work so well. Yeah.
And then Joshua's add-on question, perhaps Magis, you can address, you know, for someone who is into a lot of weightlifting and building of muscles, what kind of advice would be suitable so that they are not losing muscle?
I think whatever Joshua is adding on, weightlifting, muscle building and all, that is, has to be part of the exercise regime that a person should have. Rather than cardio alone, they also should have the resistance exercise, which they have to maintain, also build some muscle. So as we mentioned, whenever you reduce your calories, you're going to lose your fat as well as your muscles. So when you do these resistance exercises, we will be able to maintain your muscle and also accelerate the fat loss. So in terms of the diet change when you're exercising in such a manner, of course, the amount of protein has to be lifted a bit more, but it's not tons of protein, maybe another 5-10 grams of additional protein that you need. And throughout, of course, the carbohydrate portion that I mentioned has to be kept within 50%. And the workout has to be done accordingly. If, let's say, a person that is in tendency to have hypoglycemia of their own very high level of insulin regime, I'm sure Dr. Zanaria will agree, then they have to be personalized diet therapy given to them. And also they must go back to the doctors and dietitian to monitor and see how the exercise regime works with their diet without having other symptoms of hypoglycemia on others.
Now, all of that is all very well and fine when you are empowered, when you are interested. Dr. Zanaria, what about people with diabetes who really just can't be bothered? And, you know, you hear of their family members trying so hard, nagging them, forcing them and all that. How do you address those?
It's really important from the time you're diagnosed that we invest in what we call good patient education. So we do have what we call diabetes educators. In fact, all of the diabetes care team, you know, the dietitian, the doctor, the pharmacist, and the nurse educator, our aim is actually to make the patient more aware of the disease, assess the motivation level, the readiness to, you know, impact on change in their lifestyle, and to keep motivating that, because that is so important. Of course, there's always those that you can't help, but you keep on trying. And there are ways to actually approach them. Sometimes in the consultation room, you don't have time. You have a short time, and you can, you know, you really need to listen to people because they're from different backgrounds and different challenges, you know, managing their diabetes. And I think once you start doing that, I think, you know, the person in front of you will start to actually then, you know, be able to interact and be an active member of his own care. Because actually, you know, the patient is the main person in the care team. You know, he decides which way and which direction he'll go. So to convince that individual, that is the way. And that has to be done as early as possible once you've been diagnosed with diabetes. And once you get a person who knows that, that would be, you know, such a wonderful interaction to, you know, to have.
All right. Dr. Zanaria, we have a question from Sophia who's asking, is there a huge difference in the type of treatment you get if you're diagnosed with diabetes at a later stage?
Right. So if you're diagnosed at a later stage, it would imply usually that your levels of glucose are moderate to high, you know, and this would be usually in the teens, and sometimes surprisingly you get people coming in with sugars in the 20s. So that is really high, and that would then implicate that you really need more medications, you know. It would be more oral medications, and even possibly you might be asked to actually start insulin straight away. So insulin is usually reserved for type 2 diabetes later on, unlike type 1 diabetes where you are on insulin straight away. So you need more medications, definitely. And the other thing is you probably have developed complications without realizing. You've been harboring that high glucose over some years. You've developed some eye changes, which you can't, you know, you maybe don't realize, but once the doctor checks your behind your eyes, there's changes, there's leakage, there's a bit of bleeding. You may have developed protein in your urine. You may have started to get some numbness in the feet, which reflects nerve damage. And, you know, you may or may not also have some cardiovascular problems. So there then is a more complex situation. You don't only deal with the sugars to get it into the best possible way so that the complications don't progress. Often that patient also has a bit of blood pressure, a bit of cholesterol. So you can just imagine what we call a polypharmacy, the amount of drugs you may need. You may need 3 or 4 drugs for your diabetes. You may need 2 drugs for your blood pressure. So as an adult, you actually go for your screening. You be aware of your glucose if you have a high risk in the family. You know your blood pressure. You're not having a high cholesterol. So you can actually, you know, try to actually prevent a lot of things from going full-blown.
Let's wrap up and sort of look at projecting ahead. We started this conversation talking about there's a real possibility you can achieve some sort of reversal of your diabetes and of your blood glucose back to normal levels. So what does living with diabetes look like, actually, Dr. Zanaria?
So, you know, the tagline is always you want to live well with diabetes, you know, so you want a good quality of life, can actually do what another person without diabetes can do. And you can achieve that if, you know, your diabetes is diagnosed early, whether you need medications or whether it's early enough that you can work with your care team to, you know, go without medications. And you can not allow the glucose to progress so much so that you don't even have to have complications of diabetes. Or if you do have it, because you're controlling it well, it doesn't progress to the stage that you lose your vision or you need to go on to dialysis or you need your toe amputated or you have a heart attack or stroke. So you can have diabetes. Let's just have controlled diabetes, mild diabetes, a possibility of reversing diabetes. So that would be the best thing if you need diabetes. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that the rate of pre-diabetes we have in Malaysia is a quarter, like 25% of adults. So having that good lifestyle, hopefully we don't, you know, definitely progress that 25% of the population into frank diabetes in the coming years. So that is really important.
And I've left you for the last, Margis, because if we're talking about living with diabetes, again, what people are so terrified of and tend to think is that I'm the one who can't go for makan-makan with my friends during festivities. You know, we've addressed, yes, you can still eat carbs, but really looking 10, 20 years down the road, for you as a dietitian, from that perspective, what does living with diabetes look like?
I think not at all that you can't enjoy yourself and be in the family and also the social environment. Being a diabetic, your diet is similar to what other people are taking, but it has to be a little bit more conscious of the amount that you're taking. It's not very difficult to control a diabetic diet, but it has to be persistent every meal, every day, and throughout your life. I think that should be the takeaway message, actually. You enjoy yourself throughout.
That's right. Thank you so much, Margis and Dr. Zanaria, for joining us and sharing your insights with us today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
That was an edited recording of our Health and Living webinar on how to manage diabetes well and possibly reverse the condition. Watch the full webinar on facebook.com/BFM Radio and download the exclusive diabetes diary we've created for you from the link provided in the comments. This webinar series has been brought to you by AIA, enabling healthier, longer, better lives. You've been listening to The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.